pleasure to be here again. We've had a great trip. Appreciate all your prayers. You're still praying, aren't you? I hope you're praying more. Oh, you're good. I appreciate that, Dawn. Go ahead. Keep it up. But the Lord has covered us in the roads and the flights. We had a spectacular flight to Huna. No wind, and it was almost like a sightseeing tour of mountains and glaciers in the bay, and boy, that was really something. And then we were advised to get in there the day we did because bad weather was coming in, so for the next, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the next 4 days, we were socked in with weather and wind, and then Monday when we had to leave, it was no wind again and clear, so appreciate those open doorways. We don't take that for granted. We appreciate God watching over us and keeping us. And in a larger sense, looked out here last night and thought how great our God is to keep us all these years. And so that you and I are still saying amen to the message and still on course to be a part of what God called us to in the beginning to accomplish. Very thankful for all the years that he has kept us and so that we're still gathering together and we're still saying, God, you know, do this work. And I would say, you know, maybe we could echo that verse in at the end of Psalms 4, where after the day of Pentecost, they said, great grace was upon them all. Right. And I think there's probably been great grace upon us as a people.
Sure.
And I appreciated John's point last night about, you know, God's held on to us and, you know, we need to apprehend what we've been apprehended for. But certainly, I think our testimony, all of us, is that God certainly has held on to us.
Right.
Yeah. I think, you know, the Bible says in Isaiah 30 that you turn to the right or you turn to the left. That's generally what I'm prone to do, either the left or the right. And but there's a voice behind us that says, this is the way. And so are you appreciative this morning of the voice of God that's kept you on the path and the hand of God that's held you on course up to this point? Having said that, we understand that we haven't fully apprehended what we've been apprehended for. So I hope there's still a fire burning in your heart today. You know, we don't question whether or not God's going to finish his plan or fulfill his plan. Or there is a plan that's moving forward. The only issue for any of us, I believe, is probably, am I going to be a part of that fulfillment? And so I hope there's a fire burning in your heart today again as we gather again. Isn't it great that you can gather? You know, I've been going to church for a long time. John was talking about when he received, you know, had that born-again experience, the Lord visited him, and that happened when I was 4. I remember the event. I remember the chair my mom had me kneel in front of, and I don't remember sensing a big deliverance from my past. I don't know. I maybe made a lot of mistakes, didn't share my toys. I don't know. Yeah, I wasn't a real good sharer of toys. But I've been going to church since then. And I suppose if going to church did it, then we'd be finished. I tease my wife when I get home. I say, well, honey, I've gone to 7 conventions, and so I'm not going to be going to services for a while. Because I've accumulated a bunch of services. I don't need to go. I do go. That was a joke. Some of you, Some of you look at me, he's not going to church anymore. No, I'm still going to church. I just want to make a point about the spirit that God has put upon us, even though we've gone to church so long. And so I'm 54, so that's 50 years of church. And, you know, even though I've been in a lot of church, how many of you know that even like today on Friday morning, that because of the wind of the Spirit, it can be new again? How many of you know that because of the wind of the Holy Ghost, that our time together again, another convention, another gathering can be new? How many of you know that you ought to come here ready to, you know, how is it, brethren, when you get together? That's what the Bible says. How is it when you come together? One has a psalm, one has a hymn, one has a spiritual song. Let everything be done for the buildup of the church. I hope you make the most of your gathering still. And you know, don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves. That's still very important. On the trip, somebody said to me, well, it sounds like the ministry's preaching about, you know, community. And I said, look, please, there's always got to be some wrestling match of one thing or another. You know, they live here, we live there, and all that. And we have it at home sometimes. And can I just say that God is gathering his people together, and whatever expression that you're a part of, you should be a part of that. However that's expressed, then go with it, where God has put you, how he's done that. But he will be gathering his saints together. So make the most of your gathering. When you get together, come say, Lord, Holy Ghost, can you blow through here again? I know we've been here before, and I know we have a propensity to be a little dull because we've gone to church for 50 years. But actually, Lord, I know you can make it fresh by your Holy Ghost. And perhaps he could make our days together, a few days, and they go by quickly. Maybe you know, we'd set our hearts in a fresh way. Maybe we'd focus in. Maybe we'd cry out in a different way. Maybe the wind of the Spirit would blow through here in a way you haven't experienced before. Maybe it would be just getting enough strength and encouragement to keep going forward, because the mission hasn't been finished yet. We haven't apprehended what we're apprehended for. And so, you know, sometimes I get up at home and I say, I'm going to do my best to try to encourage you. Some of you look like you don't want to be encouraged, but I'm going to do what I can. I'd like to encourage you this morning, but I just got to tell you something. I've read about David when Ziklag was burning and the wives were stolen and his friends, his buddies, were going to stone him. That's bad. I mean, I just want you to know. Boy, at least I can go talk to a friend. They got a rock. David found a place of encouragement. David encouraged himself in the Lord. So if it's not coming from outside, and sometimes it does, we get together and you get encouraged. I was encouraged with a couple of the prophecies this morning. Sometimes it's those things that flow, but even if it doesn't happen, encourage yourself in the Lord. Find out about that. David did that when there wasn't anything going his way. He found some encouragement in the Lord. That's the best place to get encouraged. Doesn't tell you what he exactly said. Could you give me the lines and I could repeat what David said? Find your own encouragement. Actually, some days it's as though some people are lined up to discourage you. Just before I left, I had a sister back up her dump truck. This is metaphorical, John. John here has been really, you know, enriching our vocabulary, so we're trying to come up to it. Metaphorically backed up her dump truck in the tabernacle and went by me like on the side and said, such and such happened and so doesn't care. And then she walked away. And I thought, oh, thank you. Thanks for the encouragement. How many of you know God lines those people up? He lines them up sometimes to find out where you are. To find out where I am. Where am I today? My encouragement's got to come from the Lord. And I want to read a passage I've already started, but I want to read a passage before I get over to 1 John and get to what I really want to say. And in verse 23 of Isaiah 28. I'll read all these. Give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken, Isaiah 28:23. Hearken and hear my speech. Does the plowman plow all day to sow? Does he open and break the clods of his ground? When he has made plain the face thereof, does he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? For his God does instruct him to discretion and does teach him. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cart wheel turned about upon the cumin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff and the cumin with a rod. Bread corn is bruised because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. How about all that? Somebody more spiritual can get up and give you all the types and shadows of those verses. But I'm just going to read the next one, because I think what it's saying is this. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. I think if we're going to summarize that little passage there with all those implements and stuff planting things, I think we're going to summarize and say God knows what he's doing. This side of the room seemed to agree. I'll stay over here. Okay. We got a brother over here. All right. Wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. Can you say, are you thankful today that you have a God that is excellent in working? Not magic. He's not excellent in magic. He's excellent in working. The church wants magic. Go do something for me. I'll be at home when you finish. Give me a call. God wants to work in us. He's excellent in working. Now, the thing he's working, I think, is over in 1 John 2. And this is where we're going. This is going to be very simple. Over in 1 John chapter 2, I want to read a few verses and then maybe look at something else and then come back to it. First John 2:15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And that word is cosmos. That means don't love what appears. What is the present orderly arrangement? This whole world is based on what appears. And how many of you know God is interested in substance? Not what appears. But what really is? You and I, Brother Buddy said, if we were on display, it wouldn't be that impressive. Didn't you say that, Brother Buddy? You said that last night. Boy, is that the truth. That's why you don't want to announce yourself. I mean, I don't get some of these guys that put out a little title. There was a guy, I believe, I can't remember what country it was. It was Dan Riccadelli telling us, I don't know. Oh, no, it was Prince Samuel's telling us. A guy in India came up to him and he handed him his card. And this guy was an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and some other things too, and a doctor. Wow. Yeah. Fivefold ministry all in one. One package. Don't announce yourself. Don't present yourself. Don't try to live on the basis of appearance. Don't love the world, it says. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. This is where we're going here. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The thing that you and I want to apprehend is eternal life. Not just any old life. It's the eternal life of God. And it's to one group of people that are going to be a part of that is right here. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's the group. Pretty simple, huh? That's the group. It's those that do the will of God. Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? It's those that do the will of God. It's not that complex, is it? It's a company of people where the working of God is excellent in them to get them to the place where they actually will do the will of God. And we heard about that last night. It's a matter of the will. Whose will? There's a problem with it, and I think it's over in Matthew 21. You can keep something in 1 John 2 if you want to. I'm going to go back there. But over in Matthew 21, let's see, I think it is. Yeah, Matthew 21, 28. 28 says, but what think ye? Matthew 21, 28. A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward repented, and he went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. And he's polite, too. And went not. I mean, manners are important, but they aren't the biggest thing, right? So which of the two did the will of his father? And they said the first. Jesus said, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. So he's saying that this other group, publicans and harlots, they got a head start. They're first. I have made an important discovery in the particular gathering place that I have lived in 28 years, that I identify better with the will not crowd. Anybody discover that about you? I mean, I know those that do the will of God abide forever. And we all say amen to that. It's just that I got a problem. And the problem is, I can identify with I will not. I don't want to. I will not. Actually, that's the only thing I've ever had trouble with. I never have minded doing things that I want to do. You should have written that.
I did.
Yeah. I think you had that trouble too. And if I can create all the things that my children have wanted to do over the years and make a list and just tell them those things, we get along great. I say some contrary things like clean your room. I'm a very severe father. I even bring a shovel for them to use. Yeah, the dump truck. I get that lady over. Back that up. So my daughters, they're older now, so I don't say much about them because they also talk. But they had a little room, and they just moved into a bigger room. twice the size. Nice room. Painted it, cleaned the carpets, washed the windows. And they moved in because they're always telling me that the reason their room, their small room, was always a mess. Has anybody heard this truth? This may be a revelation for some parents. You could ease off on your kids. If they got a small room, it really gets messy easy. Right? Yeah. Okay. You know, sometimes your kids get you to lower your standard, you know, because finally you just say, okay, can we at least have a pathway? So now they're in a big room, twice the size, and I'm noticing a pattern. Yeah. I don't get it, you know. It's like drop and go, you know. I mean, did they notice? You know, we wonder, what? What? I just cleaned it. But we get along famously if I don't bring up those topics. And the thing I found out about God is He brings up the topics. And the thing I've seen is that God says, I want you to love one another. And I say amen to that. Do you say amen to that? Yeah, you do. Yeah. And then He says, I want you to love this one. Amen. Can't hardly get it out. I'd like you to relate to this one. I'd like you to go talk to this one. And I find out I'm in deficit. Because I got a strong will not. And then it says, this is a good story, because it says afterward. Boy, that's all it says is afterward. Something happened. That one word, something happened in that word, afterward, right? Yeah, it's an afterward. All right, I want to... How many of you know that it takes working for you to do His will? It takes excellent working. Not my excellent working. God's excellent working. To get me in the condition where I, though I am starting out, I will not. To get through the afterward. And go and do what He says. Because that's all He's really looking for. Jesus, it says, was obedient all the way to the cross. That was as much as He had to do. That's as much as you and I have to do. And so I think there's a key over here in back in 1 John. Let's see, 20. But ye have an unction. 1 John 2:20. It's further down from where we were. I don't want to have to read everything, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. An unction. That's an anointing from the Spirit. And it talks about it again. In 27. Well, let's read 24. Let there therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. This message today and all the messages of this convention have no validity, have no value, have no help to you unless it's the anointing that comes through any of the speakers and the anointing that's inside of you, and those two things meet and you say, yay and amen, I witness to this. It's not that somebody gets up here and is going to give you some magic words. It's that there's the same anointing that Brother Buddy was saying. It's the same spirit that's working. You get a benefit from the gatherings. You get a benefit from the preaching. You get a benefit from conversations because of the anointing. You know, unction, I remember Joe Latour brought a really good word. That word is something rubbed in. Something worked. And I love anointing that just comes out of the blue and knocks you over. Right? You had that happen, you stand in the service, and just there's a presence that overshadows you. But I got a lot of other days. I stood in a service, you know, at home probably 6 weeks ago on a Saturday morning, and we had gotten some tough news, and we're standing in the praise service, and there was a heavy anointing and presence of God, and it was as if the heavens opened for me just for, you know, 30 seconds or something. And even in the middle of the difficult news that we'd received, I had an understanding, and my eyes were open, and it was clear, and the warfare had died down. And I got encouraged in the Lord. But there's a lot of other time. I was very thankful for that. I was very thankful. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you that, you know, you gave me that. And I think I lived on that steam for the next 2 hours. And then for the next, I don't know. I don't actually keep track. I say stuff like for the next 5 days. I don't really know, right? I don't say, okay, this is a bad day. Check. Bad day, check. I don't have a calendar. I don't do that. Just for a sustained period of time, they were lined up to discourage. And though I remembered, like, what happened in church, wasn't doing the same thing for me. You try to keep pasting on an experience you had. You know what that... You know what those days are? That's when the anointing is being worked in you. It's being worked in you there. And I want to look at the anointing for a minute over in Exodus 30. It's a recipe. Exodus chapter 30, I think we'll read starting in 22. Interesting, you know, you got to love this about God. He takes time to divide up all these little things. That Brother Buddy said it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. And the rest of that is it's the honor of kings to search it out. And here in Exodus 30, 22, it says, moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much. So what's that, John? 250? No, he's busy, sorry. 250 shekels. Sweet calamus, 250 shekels. Cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. And of oil, olive, which is commonly known as olive oil. And hin. These are tricky words, man. And you shall make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be and holy anointing oil. That anointing oil was very specific in its measure, in its ingredients. And it says 500 shekels of myrrh, which was a bitter spice, a bitter herb. It was the one that Jesus was anointed for in burial. And then you got 250 shekels of sweet calamus. Is that what it was? Sweet cinnamon and sweet calamus both have 250. And then 500 shekels of cassia. And then a hin, I think, is about a gallon and a quarter or a gallon and a half of olive oil. And I think to understand the anointing that God is working in us, we got to understand that there's a perfect amount of bitter experience that we have to go through. Has anybody ever thought it was a little heavy on the bitter experience? And then it says 500 shekels total of the sweet herbs, spices. And you know, you look up some of these herbs. I did a study on some of these things. And like sweet cinnamon and calamus, like they call sweet calamus a wonder drug. We have people at home that are into herbal remedies, which is fine. I take a something that's full of herbal remedies in it. I couldn't tell you what's in it because the print is too small in the jar. But I can tell you it would be faster to tell you what's not in it. But sweet cinnamon and sweet calamus, they have properties that heal arthritis, sore throats, muscle spasms, coughing. It works as a muscle relaxant. They call it a wonder drug. They use it as a sedative. That's part of the anointing oil here. If you and I evaluate on the basis of what appears, we will say something's wrong. And we will forget what it says in Isaiah 28, that it's God that's excellent in working. And I think that's why that scripture's in 1 Thessalonians 5, that in everything, thanks. I think that's good counsel. I think that's excellent counsel because you and I don't know how to weigh stuff out. There's some examples of people in the Bible that judged on the basis of the seeing of the eye and what appeared, and they got into trouble. You think about Lot. I wouldn't say he had a happy life. He looked out at that well-watered plain, right? Abraham says, look, Lot, look, there's some difficulty. I'll tell you what. You decide where you want to go, and I'll take whatever's left. And so Lot looks out there, in all his excellent working and excellent in counsel, right? He looks out, and he says, wow. And it says, it was like the garden of the Lord. You can go read that in Genesis. But my Bible says, after that, comma, before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. There's another piece of information that Lot was not privy to. That's why it's better not to say anything early on, right? Based on appearance. You know, there's that little quip about, you know, removing all doubt of being a fool. You know, the last ingredient there, cassia, 500 shekels. You look up the word cassia, it means to bow down. It means to bow down. Instead of leading, bow down. Instead of holding your own head and making analysis of what's going on. Bow. Every event. You know, sweet events are just as dangerous as what we'd consider bitter events. So you have sweet events, you have some great thing happens, you see, and you think you're okay. It doesn't mean you're okay. It just means that God knows the ingredients of the anointing that you and I have to have to get us into the condition where we'll actually do His will. I need this much weight of this, I need that much weight of this, and God is the one that's excellent in working. He knows how much when. He knows how many sisters have to back up their dump trucks on any given day. Right? He knows. He's excellent in working. And that's why you ought to keep reading 1 Thessalonians 5. In everything, give thanks. For this, in fact, is the will of God. Can you give thanks without understanding? You sure can. Lord, I don't get this, but I'm going to thank you because you told me to. And there might be a piece of information, like before you destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, that I don't have. Boy, looking back, I don't know how many times you would have turned left and you wouldn't have turned right, but if you're sitting here today, I bet you're grateful that you didn't turn left or right. I bet you're thankful that God Himself has kept you low these many years. Cassia also reduces glucose levels in diabetic patients and gets rid of bad cholesterol. It reduces triglycerides. I think those are bad fats, right? And it lowers, get this, and I'm going to hit a lot of people with this, it lowers blood pressure. Okay, let me just tell you some health tips. Forget the eternal life and abiding forever and doing the will. Lowering your blood pressure when you humble yourself before God. How about it? Anybody suffer from high blood pressure? I don't know if I do or don't, but boy, that community has done a lot of things to me. Sure feels like I got high blood pressure. I got some kind of pressure. Someone just moved away from our community and said, well, they can't take the pressure. Well, I'm thinking they're going to have to leave the planet. And I'm not advertising for community. I don't want you to live. Don't ask to come and live at our place. We have enough. But there is a benefit that my daughters can be around. I'd be a nervous wreck. My daughters can be at the neighbors, and there are some people in that house, perhaps, that care about my daughters as much as I do. That's a benefit to me. All that is all mixed up. I guess they got all those spices together, you know, and then they add this olive oil. And let's turn over to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, and this is, let me see where I want to begin here. Well, you know the story, in 36, Matthew 26, 36, just before the cross, this is the time when he's in the garden, it says, then comes Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. That word Gethsemane, it means oil press. You get this mixture of oil in the oil press. Jesus was getting together this last ingredient here. And you know what he did? It says in Hebrews, there was strong cryings and tears. Strong cryings. He went and prayed yonder. What's this prayer? Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You know what Jesus was doing? He was getting a hold of that anointing. It was being rubbed in. Do you know what's indicative of Gethsemane? Is strong cryings. And you know what else you see here? Honesty with God. Don't pretend that you're willing. The pretense of willingness is worse than not being willing. Don't you love how God ferrets out pretense? With more pretense than over the years where I live than I can even convey. God's got to get us all to the point where we realize we're of the company that will not. And unless we get a hold of the anointing that comes through His working, we won't be that company that abides forever. Lord, I'm not willing, but God, I need the oil poured in with all these other ingredients that you've been working in me all these years. I need that oil, Lord God. How many of you know that this the crying, I'm not saying you're doing it, it's the catalyst of the Spirit that cries out of you, deep calling unto deep, that causes the anointing to flow, because if you don't mix the oil with all those compounds, there's no flowing of that anointing. It takes strong cryings, and I hope your prayers are getting more frequent. I hope they're getting more intense. Because you understand, and I understand that, Lord, I am like that guy that says, I will not. With strong cryings. I tell you something. I'm not going to read the scripture, but over in Psalms it says, He's a God that hears prayer. He's a God that hears prayer. There's another great little passage in Daniel chapter 10 when Daniel chastens himself, right? And he sets himself to seek the face of God. And he's going 3 weeks without anything. Then the angel appears and says, Oh, Daniel, from the first day, did you get that? From the first day that you set your heart to chasten thyself before God, to cry out to God, to seek Him diligently with all your heart, from the first day, your words were heard. How about that? That's the best I got by way of encouragement. From the first day you set your face, what was going on? Well, he got detained by the Prince of Persia. If the angel needed to be there on day one, would he have been? I think so. God was stretching out that pouring of oil in, stretching it out. Verse 46 in Matthew 26. Guess what happens here? Rise. Let us be going. How about that? How about when that comes up out of you? Rise. I delight to do your will. How about the power of that kind of anointing being worked in you? Where you say, rise, I got to meet my destiny. Rise, go take hold. It's the best thing that ever happens to you and me. Where you see the manifestation of the power of God working through an unwilling vessel like me and an unwilling vessel like you. That is the greatest experience that you and I have ever, ever tasted of. When you see the excellent working of God to work that anointing in you till you say out of your heart, rise, let us be going and meet the destiny that I was called to. Hebrews 13, 21. Or verse 20, I guess. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work. In every good work. In every part of that anointing that He is rubbing in. Every good work. Every event. Every experience. To do His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Lord.